Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to
A Blue Room Podcast,
where a husband and wife duo combines their love of history, pop culture, and the latest drama to bring you a funny, informative, and intriguing podcast. Welcome back to our Blue Room.
Here we go.
So today we're going to do kind of something that I said we wouldn't do, but I'm feeling fine about it.
Just fine?
I'm feeling good about it. We're going to do a true crime light podcast. This mostly comes because this certain crime that happened is currently in court. And there was a huge story this week that came out, and it was one of the biggest pop culture stories of the week. So I couldn't talk on it and then not talk about the crime. So that's how I'm kind of getting around the true crime part. It's going to be true crime light.
Yeah.
I think I like that idea. Right?
Yeah, it's fine.
So a true crime light podcast for our listeners today. We have 28 listeners.
Okay.
Officially.
Progress.
Thank you to the 28 of you. It's amazing. And then at the end of this episode, we are going to discuss
Traitors.
Yes.
Traitors finale.
Traitors finale was last night. We did stay up late enough to watch the finale, but we did not stay up for the reunion. So that's something we'll probably recap next week. Speaking of next week, what's happening to us?
We are on break all week for spring break.
Spring break. Give it to me. We are so excited. I haven't been this smiley and excited in a pretty long time. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's not you. Come on.
It's not you. It's me.
No.
It's my favorite Matthew McConaughey movie.
Which one?
It's not you. It's me.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Who's the love interest?
I don't think Matthew McConaughey's in that.
So you're making up things?
Yeah. Just keep going.
Okay. So if you live under a rock, you might not have heard of this, but this is a pretty publicized case that's going on currently right now, and it's been such a jumbled mess. So I'm going to try to make it as clear, concise, short as possible for people who maybe aren't into true crime or who have heard the story a million times. So today we are talking about the Idaho Four. It occurred in Moscow, Idaho, and it's one of the most... I know, you'd
weird
think,
name.
You think the name is weird.
Why are we... Yeah.
But...
Well, I was about to ask where it took place, so that's... I'm glad that you told me.
Yes, Moscow, Idaho. It is one of the most gruesome murders that I have ever seen, and I'm kind of obsessed with true crime, even though I'm so scared of it. So, for those of you who don't know and who kind of have no clue what's going on November 12th, 2022, four University of Idaho students were stabbed to death at their off-campus home in Moscow, Idaho. Their names were Kaylee, Madison, Zanna, and Zanna's boyfriend, Ethan. Now, there's so many sad little tidbits about this, but a picture that really sticks with me is right outside the house the next morning. All the police were there, and there's just this picture of all the police surrounding the house. But blood is trickling out of the house because of how much blood there was. So this was a very violent crime. It was to me, it seems like it was a crime of passion. And for those of you who also don't know, Brian Koberger is our lead suspect.
So he's the one on trial. He's the defendant.
Yep, he's the defendant. He's the one on trial right now. And they have accused him of murdering them because there was a knife sheath left behind at the scene of the crime. And it has a partial print that matches him. And so there's just a lot of weird things about this case. Poor Kaylee used to live there and was just visiting. So if she wouldn't have gone to visit that weekend, she would still be alive. There's a lot of things that make me really sad about this case. But the reason I want to talk about it first is because the court date kept getting moved back. People think Brian's going to get off because they don't have enough evidence against him. The state has been super secretive in what information they have and what's allowed to be released to us. A big thing that happened this week is the judge ruled that the state needed to stop being so secretive and release things because it was violating like our First Amendment, like the public's First Amendment. Mm. So a lot of odd things have been happening since the beginning of this.
Which I'm a little, I go both ways with that type of thing, just because how's just that jury duty? But it's like, you have to be unbiased, and this is such a big, famous, publicized case. If the state's releasing stuff, mm-hmm. it's going to be very hard to find jurors that are not biased and that don't know what's going on.
Well, and that's the thing. So this has been the case, the true crime on everyone's lips because of how violent it was. And seemingly he went into the house, whoever did this, went into the house at around 4 a.m. and was already gone by like 4:30. So to stab to death four different people on different levels of the house. And that's the other thing too. The house has a really weird layout. Mm-hmm. There were, I believe, four different levels of the house, maybe three, but I believe it was four.
So four, possibly four, including the basement.
Yes. Okay. And so Kaylee and Maddie were upstairs in their room with their dog. And
was the dog killed?
No. The dog, the next morning, was found in a room upstairs by itself. So that's why people also think maybe it's not Brian, because the dog might have attacked or the dog might have been distressed, but maybe it was someone the dog knew.
Where does this Brian guy come into it? Is he a boyfriend?
Nope.
Is he a...
Yeah. So I can tell you that. So Brian was a forensic scientific major at the college. Mm-hmm. And he is apparently a genius, which I guess I can understand, but he'd had a lot of issues with being reported by his professors for inappropriate behavior, like violent almost. Mm-hmm. He had just not gotten a, what's the word I'm looking for? When you get like an internship, he had just been denied an internship and was really angry apparently. And not, I don't think any of this is like confirmed, but he had DM'd Kaylee and Maddie a couple of different times. Mm. So I think he was a little bit obsessed with them, and maybe one of them rejected him. One of their injuries didn't match the rest of the other victims, and they haven't really spoken on that, but I believe it was Kaylee's father who said that her injuries didn't match everyone else's. And I don't know what that means, but maybe it's something with him being obsessed with her or being angry with her the most.
So what does that mean? Like it could be like a blunt force thing instead of just stabbing possibly.
Yes. But also he said that Kaylee really fought.
Yeah.
So one of the big things, there's two big things I want to discuss about the case this week. So to wrap up what we think happens in the story, if you don't know, there are two surviving roommates named Dylan and Bethany, and they didn't call 911 until 9 hours later. Their text messages have now been released to the public. Before this, we had no idea what was going on. And people were being really unfair to them because they were saying, oh, well, they were in on it because they didn't call the police until later. And one of them, I believe, oh, we have a guest today at our podcast, and it is his parents' dog, Toddy. So anyway, Dylan said that she saw a man in all black wearing a ski mask through the crack in her door. And until recently, we had thought she had seen him shut her door and hid in her room. But we'll discuss what she actually did, what came out in the trial this week. Yep, this is Toddy.
There she is, the one that just knocked over a gate.
Yep. Welcome to our podcast, Toddy. You're our first guest.
Making quite the intro.
Truly. Too. Honestly. And if you're listening and you heard that big bang, you probably jumped because we're talking about true crime. But to wrap up what happened the next day. So the two roommates apparently had been texting each other, and they finally came out of their rooms the next day, and they hadn't heard from their four other roommates or the four other people that were in the house. So it's unclear. I think we'll get more details as it goes on, as the court case goes on. But they apparently went to go get their neighbors because they were scared. And one of the neighbors, whose name is Hunter, actually opened Zanna and her boyfriend Ethan's room and saw the scene. and they called 911, but they reported it as an unconscious person. I think that might have been, they probably called 911 before Hunter opened the door, in my opinion. But Xana and Ethan, I think, unfortunately, were collateral damage because Xana had gotten DoorDash. They had all been out the night before partying. And so Xana had gotten DoorDash, and I think she came out, saw Brian, and he in turn felt like he had to kill her and her boyfriend because they had defensive wounds as well. The only person that didn't was Maddie, I believe, but I could be wrong about that. So does that kind of make sense? Are you with me on what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any questions, class?
Yeah. I mean, to me, this just seems like a mess. I mean,
it is. And the worst part, are you ready for this? They bulldozed the house.
See, that's so weird.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad, in my opinion. How do you bulldoze the house that could have remaining DNA or any other clues?
It's an open case. I mean, that's evidence that you're destroying.
Yep. So it's pretty brutal. And I do want to pause for a second and say the main reason I'm talking about this is because I believe that these poor kids and their families deserve justice. And we always want to speak on true crime with a level of respect and thinking about how the things that we're discussing are these people's worst days, worst nightmares of their lives. So I just want to bring focus to it. I really hope he doesn't get off because we'll talk about him for a second too. I'll just call him B because I don't really want to say his name, but his white Elantra, his car, was seen driving around King's Road where the murders took place that night and then the days following. So he was kind of, a lot of murderers do this. They go back to the scene of the crime to relive it because they're psychologically insane and it brings them like a thrill to go back and to kind of relive it, you know? So they're also trying to connect him to other murders in the area and also in Pennsylvania, but I don't think they've been able to do that yet. Because of the gravity of the murders and how quickly they happened, they think that he's either had practice before or his major was helping him and he thought he was smarter than the police. So the next couple days, him and his father comes into town and they drive from Idaho all the way back to Pennsylvania. He is stopped twice by law enforcement and unbeknownst to him, the FBI is watching him. Because they already had an idea of what he was doing. Apparently, though, this came out this week, too. He was listening to the police trackers. So he had he was able to hear what was going on, which is interesting to me, too. He thinks he's very smart. So when the FBI came to arrest him at his house, he had gloves on. He was like throwing things away into trash cans and putting things in Ziploc bags. So it's just it all screams guilty. But is this a crime that could be done by one person in that short amount of time? I don't know.
I mean, four people to be killed that way. I mean, I don't think stabbing is necessarily a quick thing. I mean,
and the way, I don't really want to talk about it, but the way that they were stabbed is the most violent thing I've ever seen. And the fact that one of the pictures that just haunts me is the blood like seeping out of the walls of the house. So there's a lot here to discuss, of course, but that's kind of where we are now. So Kaylee's father has been really loud, and I would be too if it was my daughter, to all these news outlets talking about how nothing's been done and that they've hired a PI, and him and law enforcement have kind of butted heads because he doesn't think anything's being done. And I'm kind of inclined to agree because it really feels like the state's being secretive, not telling us anything. And then in turn, also, they're trying to prove that Brian didn't do it, in my opinion. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. So yeah. Are you ready to hear the big news that came out this week?
I thought we did, but
okay. No. Well, so the big news is that the 911 call was released and the surviving roommates, Dylan and Bethany, their text messages from that night were released. So they are both witnesses and they are giving testimonies at this. What's the word I'm looking for?
court. What's the word?
I don't know. Court case.
Is that like they're giving testimonies at court? Is that right?
They're giving testimonies at court.
Hold on.
Editing this is going to be a nightmare. It's fine.
Giving testimonies at the
court. They're key witnesses.
There you go.
Okay. So Dylan and Bethany are the surviving roommates, and they are some of the key witnesses. So basically, the first text, I think, is Xana was wearing all black. So maybe one of the roommates thought that the person in all black she saw was Xana, the roommate. And then I think it could be Bethany responding to Xana that or responding saying that Xana was wearing all black that night. So they're trying to rationalize what they saw. So these girls were probably under the influence, and they're trying to rationalize what they're hearing, what they're seeing. And that was another thing that I thought was kind of unfair, but I understand. Everyone was getting onto the roommates saying, if people are getting stabbed, wouldn't you hear something? And like, why wasn't the dog barking? And why, you know what I mean? So it's just interesting. I really don't know. A lot of things are going to come out, I think. But basically, Dylan says no one is answering. So they were trying to contact Kaylee, Maddie, Xana, and Ethan. And then Dylan says, I'm really confused right now. And then to Kaylee, she says, Kaylee, what's going on? And then Bethany, the other surviving roommate, says, yeah, dude, WTF. And then Bethany says, Xana was wearing all black. And then Dylan, I'm freaking out right now. No, it's like a ski mask almost. And Bethany said, be quiet, basically. And Dylan goes, like, he had something over his head a little and his mouth. And then Dylan to Bethany said, I'm not kidding, I'm so freaked out.
So this was after they were found?
No. So this is while they're getting killed, I think. So Dylan and Bethany are texting each other from their rooms while their friends are getting murdered. And as Brian is leaving after he is murdered. Yes. Allegedly, after he is leaving from Xana and Ethan, Dylan sees someone in a black ski mask in all black. And then she runs back into her room. So the killer either didn't see her or decided to let her go because he knew that he was going to get caught.
Mm.
So they're texting each other. And then Bethany says, so am I. I'm so freaked out. Dylan says, my phone is going to die. Bethany says, come to my room, run down here. And they both, I guess, sleep down in the basement in Bethany's room.
This is like made it even more suspicious of those two.
You think?
Yes.
I think this doesn't. I think these are kids who are scared.
So then call the police. Instead, it's just like, oh, there might be someone in the house, but my phone's going to die. So just come sleep in my room. Like that's sketchy to me.
Well, so then...
Like, I get it, they're kids, they may have been having a little too much fun or whatever, but, like, that's weird. Like, if I thought someone was in our house, and I was just like, oh, well, let's just lock the door.
I know, but you're a grown man. Doesn't matter. These are kids.
It.
Yeah, I get it. And but then the girls call and text Maddie, Kaylee, Ethan, and Xana around 4:20, around the time of the alleged murder, or not the alleged, but of the time of the murders. And then there's no answer. So they assume they went to bed, which I think could be why they didn't call the cops and just went to bed. So Dylan says, it looks like it says, I'm screwed though, but it's actually, I'm scared though. So she had like this typo. So I think people in court are trying to maybe make that mean something else. And then she says, yeah, I know, but it's better than being alone. So I guess Dylan runs down to Bethany's room is what I'm getting. And then another thing is, I'm not really sure why the state hid this from us for so long, because it doesn't interfere with the case. the roommates wouldn't have been blamed and harassed throughout all this, because I think the opposite of you. I think this shows that they were just kids who were probably under the influence and were scared and didn't. And again, I don't think I told you this at the beginning. This was a party house. This was the place to be. There were strangers in and out of this house all the time. So I don't know. But the state would have kept this sealed unless the judge didn't say you can't do that anymore. Which is interesting to me. So the judge has come out this week. Another big news in this case is that the judge came out this week and basically said, hey, the state's keeping too much from the public. You're breaking the public's First Amendment rights. So you need to unseal all of this. So there's a lot going on. And to me, it seems like the state is just kind of like, da, da, da. Like, no, don't you want to get this guy? Like, let's solve this case. So it's a little rough. And I told you that he was listening to the police scanner. And then we're going to talk the 911 call. And then we can kind of be done with this.
Ready? Okay. Yeah.
So the 911 call happens. And this is just kind of crazy. I wish you guys could see this. Because we have Q, which is the dispatch. We have Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, Q5, which is a man, woman 1, man 1, man 2, man 3. And then we have A, A1, A2. And this is woman, woman one, man. They pass the phone around so many times during the 911 call. It's really confusing. So apparently they find Zanna first because her door is kind of cracked open and she's laying outside of the door. So it's kind of confusing because obviously she's stabbed to death, but they reported her being unconscious. But I think it's because they could only see her head. There's just so many things that line up just right to make everyone seem suspicious, but also things are so confusing. You know what I mean? So 911 answers, and A, who I think is Bethany, because they called off of Bethany's phone. She says, hi, something is happening. Something happened in our house. We don't know what. We have, and then the dispatcher says, give me the address. And then, is that a house or an apartment? It's a house. Can you repeat the address? So she repeats the address. And then we have a new person. We have A1, which is another woman. And she says, I'll talk to you guys. We live at the right, so we're right next to them. So this is Hunter and I believe Emily, their neighbors. Okay? And so Emily, the neighbor, starts talking. And then it gets passed to somebody else. And the dispatcher keeps saying, stop passing the phone. Stop passing the phone. I need to talk to the people who actually know what's happening. So
here's the thing. To me, this either seems like what you said, mm-hmm. like dumb college kids mm-hmm. that can't handle anything. Or the flip side is they're either complicit in the murder or they have something to do with it. Like, I'm sorry, this is weird to me. Like, yeah. This is
but
too...
But do the neighbors have something to do with it? Like, no.
I don't know. It just seems way too, like, oh my God, passing the phone, everyone's so chaotic, and they only think she's passed out? Mm-hmm. Like, that's weird to me. I feel like it wouldn't take a ton to...
But there's a lot that's redacted, and there's also a lot that we still don't know because the state has sealed so much. So we're hoping to get more information. And that's why I want to cover this case. Might be one of the only true crimes we deeply cover because I want to follow along. Like, this is happening in real time, you know? So, okay, tell me exactly what's going on. One of the roommates who's passed out and she was drunk last night and she's not waking up. And then someone else in the background says, no, we saw, okay, the dispatcher says. Oh, and they saw some man in their house last night. Yeah.
Weird.
Weird. And then, hi, are you with the patient? Okay, I need someone to keep
also,
the phone.
Also, I'm going
to
stop you for 1 second. She won't wake up. So obviously they got close enough to her to wake up. That's not a you crack the door. Oh my God, you closed the door. She's passed out and she won't wake up. That means that you went over and you tried to mm-hmm. bump her. You tried to do something. You would see what's going on.
Yep. So dispatcher says, what is going on currently? Is someone passed out right now? Then I think it's Bethany. I really don't know, but pretty much at 4 a.m. And then dispatcher says, okay, I need to know what's going on right now. If someone has passed out, can you find that out? And then Bethany says, yeah, I'll come. Come on. We got to go check. So it's scary. Like, I'm not really sure what they were seeing or what was going on, but we have to. Is she passed out? She's passed out. What's wrong? And then she says she's not waking up. And so the dispatcher says unconscious and gives the King Road address. And so all of this starts happening. And then the dispatcher goes, that one I copy about 20-year-old female unconscious trying to get further. And so they're all talking and saying 20, 20, yes. And then the dispatcher goes, okay, I need someone to stop passing the phone because I've talked to 4 different people. And someone says, okay, sorry, they just gave me the phone. This is Hunter, the neighbor. Is she breathing? Hello? Is she breathing? No. Okay. And then this is Bethany or Dylan. I need you to talking to them. Okay. I can't talk to them. I need you to talk to them. And okay, I've already sent the ambulance and law enforcement. Stay on the line. If there's a defibrillator available, send someone to get it now until you have it. The patient is not conscious, not breathing. And so now they're on the scene. The police are now there. The EMTs are there. And the dispatcher says, okay, I'm going to let you go since he's there with you and can help you. Okay, thank you. Bye. Okay. Then the other dispatcher is talking to one of the other people on the line, like one of the other police officers or something, or dispatchers. And she says, I think we have a homicide. So it's just... doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's stupid to me. This is all dumb.
Well, I just don't get why we didn't call the police. I don't get why.
I can understand that part. I mean, if you have roommates, you can go a day without talking to a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
But that 911 call is, like I said, it's either dumb people, when there's plenty of them in the world, or it's we made a mistake and now we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Because... there's no way you could go to someone who's stabbed to death and just be like, oh, they're just unconscious. Like,
well, but
the amount of
yeah
blood in a person's body is insane.
But I do also wonder if they're scared that no one's answering their phones, so they call that they call 911 first because of that. Like, that's where the unconscious could come from. But again, weird layout of the house. There's 4 levels. There's lots of different entry points. We still don't quite know what's going on, and I'm really looking forward to, and I would like to hear from the DoorDash person, because the DoorDash was delivered right during or before, but had to be before the murders, because the DoorDash, there's a picture of the DoorDash on the counter in the kitchen. So there's just so much with this. I know you look like you're getting frustrated.
Yeah, I'm just like over it.
Yeah.
This is like just dumb.
Well, it's not dumb. It's people's lives, but... Well,
no, I'm not saying that. Like, I feel awful for the victims. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, this response
mm-hmm.
is insane. Like, mm-hmm. It's making me frustrated.
I know. So, we'll keep you guys updated. This just might be a weekly, monthly, I don't know. As we get updates from the case, we'll make episodes and update you guys. Ready to talk traitors?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Traitor season finale. What a time mm-hmm. to start off. So we got left on that cliffhanger last week.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Got left on that cliffhanger last week of if Danielle was going to get voted out by Brittany.
And it's all I wanted.
Yeah, it was the best.
The best TikToks. It was like a picture of the beach or the picture of the mountains. And it's like this and Brittany writing Danielle's name down. And I thought that was hilarious.
I just kind of wonder, I mean... I'm sure when you get voted out as a traitor, you sign some form that says you cannot give away who the other traitors are when you get banished. And it seems like Danielle gave it away so quickly. It was like, it was Brittany. She was like talking about how great, oh, Dylan, you were such a great competitor and all this. And she didn't say anything to Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
She starts crying immediately when Brittany writes her name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Danielle sold the game right there.
Yep.
So then them voting out Brittany almost immediately after, it was like...
Well, Danielle's been a horrible game player since the beginning. But anyway, Brittany voted Danielle out and she's like, not again, not again. Because I guess she betrayed her in Big Brother too. But I'm just so happy with the ending of this. I have never rooted for the Faithfuls more. I'm really excited to watch the reunion. Usually I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it could get a little nasty because these people were not happy with each other.
Yeah. Well, it was just good because, like, the season started out pretty good, and then it was really low points. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was points in it where you and I were like, do we really want to watch it? Okay. And yeah, then to end on this high of four good faithfuls besides Dolores, she's the worst.
I don't know how she made it. She's just always voting for the random person that makes no sense.
She was the worst.
Yeah, truly.
She was worse than Tom Sandoval. Everyone always picked on him.
I loved Tom Sandoval.
Everyone picked on Tom Sandoval about these conspiracies and he didn't know what was going on. Dolores picking Ivar for like 3 weeks straight.
I know. Like, that's so funny. Yeah, but I was glad that the game ended. I did not think the game would end. Mm-hmm. I thought that they were going to vote out Efron, but I'm so glad Dylan made it.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Gabby making it was great.
Oh, Gabby is just a national treasure.
Yeah.
How sweet is Gabby?
And then, you know, Ivar was fine. I mean, mm-hmm. he played the game pretty well. Dolores, I would have been okay if they'd voted her out, but that would have been kind of, that would have been kind of jerky to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a great finale.
It was great. And like, now they're going on their press circuit tours and lots of funny clips are coming out. And
especially with the old Efron and Boston Rob.
I know. So funny. Their bromance is legendary.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I'm sad about is that we have to wait another year until the next season.
It is crazy though, because the pot was only like 200 grand. Yeah. So you split 200 grand between four people. You spent all this time. You won. It's a big deal. And it's like, oh.
And Boston Rob
30K after taxes. Thanks.
Boston Rob got paid more to just show up, which is the funny part.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But we love Traitors. Tonight, we'll watch Big Brother. Or not Big Brother. Why did I say Big Brother? Yeah. Love is Blind, because it's the wedding. So it's the season finale for Love is Blind. And then we're going to need some new shows to watch. We started watching Running Point. I don't know.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the basketball one.
Yeah, the basketball one with the Ted Lasso.
With Kate Hudson.
Yeah, I like it.
I need a few more episodes, but yeah,
I think it's cute.
I'll give it a chance.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so.
So be prepared to be sick of us, because we are filming and recording a lot of content the next week because we'll be off. So be prepared to be sick of us. We're off next week, so we are going to record a couple of fun episodes for you. And thank you for being here, Toddy, our first podcast guest. Bye.
Bye.